X2, The Logic of Christian Science. Number 1A.
Today I want to take the subject of the logic in Christian Science. And this is a subject that demands really attention. It is a subject that appeals to the best intellect within you, and we know that Christian Science is both intellectual and spiritual, and so in order to be able to present perhaps the subject in an orderly way so that you can take notes in an orderly way, I'm just going to tell you always the title of what I'm going to talk about, and we number those titles so that you have some kind of orientation where we are in the subject. So the first title is 1, Introduction. Now, talking about logic means that we first say what realm of logic we want to discuss. Namely, there is a mathematical logic, and there is also a logic for a tool of reasoning in general, as a line of thinking in general. And so I eliminate the mathematical logic because that is too high for us and for me. And but what we need is really for Christian Science a tool of logical reasoning. And so I concentrate on that field of logic. Logic is a way of thinking, and we know that the way we think is molding our world of experience. And therefore, actually, logic is a tool of practice. We come now to a higher realm of practice, which says, if in order to practice aright, we also must have the right practical tools of reasoning. We have two kinds of logic that we have to consider today in the world. It is the classical logic on one side and the trans-classical logic, the modern logic of today. The classical logic is the logic of Aristoteles, and is characterized that it is a two-valued logic. It's a two-valued logic, a dualistic logic. This dualistic logic is based on human thinking. Human thinking always reasons in a dualistic way. It's always that dualism of right, wrong, life, death, spirit, matter, God, devil, subject, object, right, left, above, below, no, yes, and so you can go on and on and on. Human thinking has for everything a counter fact, human thinking, and therefore always can think in a dualistic way. Now, this logic of dual value is that which has molded the whole Western thought. The whole Western thought is educated since 2,500 years in this classical Aristotelian logic, and we have taken it so for granted that most people not even know that their thinking is based on this classical logic. But in school, without teaching that this is a classical logic and from Aristoteles, the whole teaching in school is always that either something is right or wrong, is left or right, is life or death. We are trained in thinking in these opposites. So the whole Western civilization is therefore deeply molded with this logic. And so we have to see how this logic that is dualistic can be overcome, because fundamentally we know that there is only one value and that there are not two opposite values, and Christian Science will have to show us a way out of this dualistic thinking. This classical logic, perhaps we could say, stands in contradiction, or at least in opposition to other kinds of logics. For instance, to the paradoxical logic of the East, further to the mystical logic of the mystics, and further in opposition to the trans-classical logic of the last half century. We are not considering for the moment the paradoxical logic. I will touch on it at the end of this lecture, and the mystical logic we will touch here and there as we go through the course of logic. But the trans-classical logic, that logic which has touched the Western world for the last half century, is a logic that needs to be considered. So what or where do we find the trans-classical logic? And I just give you a few indications. It is not something that you perhaps can understand, but it's good to have heard about it so that you are aware that modern world, especially in modern science, we have to use the trans-classical logic. There are therefore in the scientific world so-called breakthroughs or breaking outs of the classical logic into different kind of logics. We had that in the exact sciences and in the natural sciences for the first time in atom physics. There the problem was raised very definitely, where they began to see the principle of complementarity, where they began to see the principle of uncertainty relations. All this may not mean very much, doesn't matter. It just shows that in physics they found that the old classical logic is no more valuable, insofar that it is no more a universal logic, but that the classical logic, the Aristotelian logic, has become a special case in logic, applicable to certain fields in the field of science, but no more to all fields of science. The same thing we have witnessed in psychology with the Gestalt theory of Wertheimer. It was the one who were pointing out that the two-valued logic must be at least supplemented by a four-valued logic. Then in the last 10-15 years we have that whole field of structuralism that was stressed in the various sciences, and structuralism demands also another logic. It demands a dimensional logic, a dimensional logic. In conjunction with atom physics also, they begin to realize that they must rely on a new kind of statistics, and though the principle of statistical probability, the principle of statistical probability was breaking down the classical logic. Then with cybernetics also a new kind of logic was introduced. You have here Professor Günther as the exponent of the cybernetic logic, and this has brought again a tremendous new insight into logic. Even in biology, we have indications that the two-valued logic is insufficient. They too began to realize, just, I don't know if you know Lorenz's book on the so-called evil, where he shows that if we want to understand evolution, that we cannot understand it with our two-valued logic, that we need a different logic in order to understand really evolution. That good and evil are not two. It just says that two, like Mrs. Eddy said it 100 years ago, that this is a reasoning which cannot be used in contemplating the whole evolution of life. Now, I have given these indications well knowing that we are not well versed in these fields, and we do not need to be well versed in these fields. That's not our job. It's just to indicate that in the world something has changed, that now for 2,500 years the whole Western world was educated that there is only one logic, the two-valued logic, and that now, only in the recent years, the field of science has seen that this two-valued logic is insufficient as a tool in their science, that it is no more practical. Therefore, that we need to have another logic. Now, don't think that everybody who is engaged in the fields of psychology or atom physics or things like that is aware of this new logic. It's just a few that become aware of it. There's perhaps 1 out of 10 or 100,000 that is aware of the new logic that is necessary in order to tackle certain problems. Another field where the classical logic does no more apply is Christian Science. Christian Science has also a trans-classical logic. Christian Science does not build on the Aristotelian logic, because you know very well that we do not accept two opposite values as facts, good and evil as two opposite facts. That therefore Christian Science is apparently built on a very different kind of logic. And we have to find out what kind of logic we use in the textbook. We already know from the blunt text of the textbook that Mrs. Eddy states that revelation and divine logic coincide. And so you have already here an indication, really, that logic, divine logic, does coincide with revelation. Revelation is always one-valued. It is not that human reasoning and divine logic coincide. It is revelation and logic coincide. Quite an enormous difference. So, Mrs. Eddy will present in the textbook a different logic than the classical logic, but even more than that, she will also show the way out of the classical logic into the divine logic. And so presents a whole field of logics, in the plural, of three-valued logics, of four-valued logic, of multi-valued logic, and finally shows dimensional logic as we have it in the chart. And then she speaks of the infinite logic, number two, it's infinite logic, and finally we see that all these kinds of logics have a fundamental logic, an even deeper root of logic, namely the one-valued logic. Therefore, what is now the position of Christian Science in relation to the classical logic? What Christian Science does is that Christian Science goes out from the classical logic and overforms classical logic. It does not do away completely with it, but overforms it and shows a completely different logic. So we can see that Mrs. Eddy, 100 years ago, anticipated already what is now gently coming up in the field of sciences, namely that she had a trans-classical logic, and that therefore she was way ahead of the world in the way of logical thinking. Therefore we can understand that Mrs. Eddy says that her battle is actually against a false system, a false logic. The moment we will see the right logic of the Christian Science textbook, then we can see that on that logic we will not have to battle with an opposite, so that what we need to do, as we saw yesterday, is not in the first place to heal the phenomena, but to change our standpoint. Therefore, to have another standpoint from where to reason, which is logic. So, the issue which we are facing today is that the classical logician who reads the textbook can therefore not understand the textbook. He approaches the textbook with the classical logic and reads a textbook that is not written in classical logic, that is written in the trans-classical logic, and therefore it's impossible that he can understand the textbook unless he becomes aware of a new logic. Therefore, we can have compassion and a certain kind of understanding that the critics, the thinkers of today and of yesterday, who are reading the textbook, have always the same criticism against the textbook, that they say Mrs. Eddy was illogical, that Mrs. Eddy is contradictory in her statements, that her statements are absurd. These are the terms that are usually used by the critics. And therefore, we should see that this is quite understandable, because we know now that the classical logic cannot understand the trans-classical logic. So that actually a discussion with the critics becomes practically impossible unless we can show them that we have another logic, or show them that they need to have another logic. It is a pity, naturally, that the Christian Science Church as a movement has never seen the new logic in the textbook, that they were never aware that Mrs. Eddy was using another logic, so they were always defending and trying to defend in one way or the other with the classical logic, the logic of the textbook. And that is not really successful. The Church has never investigated the logic of the textbook as a new logic, and so still tries to defend the textbook on the old basis. And we can ask ourselves, why did that happen? Why is that so? And the answer is very easy. Well, the world has not yet grown to the point where they are aware of a new logic. It was just too early. We always see with these high visionaries that they are always in advance of their age, and therefore their contemporaries can never really understand what they see, and they have to wait and wait until the time is ripe. And when the time is ripe, then with a new approach, with a new paradigm, one can see what those pioneers have accomplished. Also, I think one was not aware of the new logic because Mrs. Eddy starts out with the two classical logic, and so to say, her reasoning is over long distances, over long lines of reasoning, very similar to the two-valued logic. And so one was not aware that she was actually saying something different. So this is the issue. Is that clear? We have two paradigms. Those two paradigms don't understand each other. The only thing we can do is to investigate the new paradigm and then from there look back on the old paradigm and see where the old paradigm is insufficient, irrelevant. So I go to a second subject. The title is The Principles of Classical Logic. The principles of classical logic was stated already by Aristoteles, and it's quite enormous to see that his insight lasted over 2,500 years, so he must have had a terrific vision and must have been a terrific thinker. And as I said, the whole Western world is molded in their reasoning in that way of logic. Aristotelian logic can perhaps be reduced, to make it a bit simple, to three laws. And I tell you these three laws. First, the law of identity. The law of identity. What does this law of identity state fundamentally? And you now have to think a bit in an abstract way. It says, A is identical to A. A is identical to A. Meaning something is identical to itself. It never has another identity. So that's the principle of identity. Second, the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction. Which would mean A is not A. The second you hyphen, huh? A is not, and then you hyphen, not A. It means, as Mrs. Eddy would state it in other terms, she says if two statements directly contradict each other and one is true, the other must be false. So if something is A, it is not and not A. So it does not contradict itself. Can you see that these are great, great laws that Mrs. Eddy uses? I will afterwards try to give examples from Christian Science. The third law is the law of the excluded middle. The law of the excluded middle. Here you can state it again in an abstract way, and there are, say, for our purpose, two variations. So 3A, we could state A cannot be A. A cannot be A. And, perhaps you underline and, at the same time not A. You hyphen again, not A. Do you have that? A cannot be A and at the same time not A. Or the second variation, B, we could say, or they say, A cannot be A, or, you underline or and then hyphen, not A. Now let's try to state that those three laws, say in the Christian Science terminology, and then you see that Mrs. Eddy all over the place seems to use those three laws of Aristotelian logic, that these statements appear in the textbook not only here and there, but by the hundreds. That's why one felt she uses classical logic. Let's take the law of identity, the first one, and see what we could, how we could word it in Christian Science. There we would say, God, good, Spirit is always good spirit.